This is Circulating Ideas, the Librarian Interview Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Thomas, and my guests today are Gene Ambaum and Bill Barnes, the creators of the library webcomic Unshelved. They started publishing Unshelved in February of 2002, and they have 8 published collections.
I know that the rule is I'm not supposed to swear when they walk into the room, so I can't help but swear.
It's target fixation. They said I went to motorcycle safety school, and one of the things they teach you is if there's an obstacle in the road, do not look at it. You want to look where you want to be, not where you don't want to be, because wherever you look is where you'll actually go.
That's what they taught me when I took a gun safety class, too, but it didn't really work very well.
This doesn't make any sense at all.
Just know where the target is, man. Don't look at it.
Just set it.
Just put it right there.
That was actually a Zen course. All right, what are we going to talk about, Steve?
All right, first thing I wanted to ask you guys about was I saw last week when Dave Kellett did a library-themed Sheldon. I don't know if you saw it. Guys saw the tweet he sent you.
Was a hilarious late fee joke.
Yes. Well, and then he tweeted that he felt bad that when he does library-themed jokes because he feels like he's taking food off your plates. And so what I'm wondering is how you're going to exact your revenge upon him.
I didn't eat lunch that day. That's all I'm going to say.
My children didn't eat lunch that day. Dave is, you know, we exact our revenge in Dave on subtle and nefarious ways. We tricked him into doing a really ridiculous contest with us a few years ago where we all endeavored to do the world's funniest comic strips on
coffee cup lids.
Because we were sitting around, because Gene had done a whole sequence on coffee cup lids, and they were terrible. And I'm like, this is terrible, but you know who could really pull this off is Dave Kellett. And so we called him up, and we're like, you should do this. And then it turned into a kind of a contest, which I think basically he won. Because in the end, he's better at stuff like that.
I think he had the best strip overall, but I think we won the week.
Really?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. For panache.
We had Gary Tyrell from Fleen.com judge it. And his judging is in our 5th book in Read Responsibly, and he gave us, we each won half of them. So
do you know Dave well? I mean, have you seen him at conventions? And
yeah, Dave's actually a good friend of mine, and we've been exhibiting together for years, and basically I'm a big gushing fanboy about Sheldon.
Yeah, we both read it all the time, so I mean it's cool to see him doing that stuff.
Yeah, what other comics do you guys, web comics or print comics, whichever, do you get like a inspiration from or just enjoy?
You know, for as often as I'm asked that question, you would think I would prepare an answer, but I'm always completely footed by it.
I think the only web comics I read right now, I read Wondermark and XKCD, and I read Wasted Talent once in a while, Angela Alex, but I don't read a lot of web comics. I'm reading a lot of French graphic novels these days, but I wouldn't say they're inspiring so much as depressing, because they make me feel just like an untalented hack.
I to some degree minimize the amount of webcomics I read, I think because I'm always afraid I'm going to steal from them.
Right.
And this is the exact opposite of what my friend and not invented here collaborator Paul Southworth does, which was to imbibe every piece of comedy ever to make sure he never ever duplicates what someone else is doing.
Oh, and I also read Not Invented Here, Bill's other comics. How's that for a plug?
You read it every day, right,
Gene? That was my standard. I do, actually.
But once in a while, someone will write a book about libraries and kind of the funny things that patrons do and the wacky things that librarians say, and they hand it to us, and we're like, we are not reading this. This is way too close to what we do.
Yeah, I have this whole bookshelf of things that I will read once we're done with this, because I don't want to take anything out of them. It's kind of horrifying, because they're books I totally want to read. It's like, and the bookshelf just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and you know, there they sit.
But in terms of my comic strip influences, I grew up reading Doonesbury, and so my tenets always to do a giant ensemble cast with lots of stuff going on, and I love Bloom County, which sort of started off as a ripoff of Doonesbury, so that's cool. And I did read Garfield for a while as a child, but you know, the strips being produced now are still literally the same strips that were produced as a child, so.
Yeah, I believe 25 years ago, Garfield was funny, and then he just kind of kept doing the same thing over and over again. And
I bet it's funny now. I bet if you're 7 and you tune to Garfield, it's still hysterical. Yeah.
I still think it's great. I mean, like, it has that same sense, right? I mean, I wonder if you had an index to it, like some kind of colophone for Garfield, and you looked it up to see how close that joke was to a joke 20 years ago, how close it would be.
So what do you think, what is a colophone?
Isn't that where you like organize by word?
No, isn't that, I thought the colophone was when you talk about what font you used.
Is it? Steve, help us out here. You're a librarian.
I don't remember. I can find out anything though, but
I think what you're talking about is an index.
No, there's some word for when you take like every word that appears in a work of literature and then you index the number of times that it occurs and where it occurs. And I believe that's a
This interview is going to grind to a halt.
It starts with a C. That's all I know. I'm just a little sick right now.
A colophone is a brief description of publication or production notes relevant to the edition.
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Wow, I'm completely wrong.
Yeah. It's not the first time, so it's okay.
I am the world's worst librarian.
But I am glad to have it recorded now for posterity every time he's wrong.
Column index.
Now I forgot what the question was.
Me too.
Well, one thing that came up while you guys were talking, I was thinking, you wanted like a large cast, you said like Doonesbury. Did you guys intentionally make the cast of Unshelved large, or did you just kind of introduce a new character and they kind of hit things off and you...
Well, I would say Unshelved actually has a pretty small cast. I mean, it has the four, well, now three librarians and one page. And then it has, you know, a really small number of recurring patrons, maybe less than a dozen, of which only three or four have names.
Right.
And then some other people who pop up once in a while. And like, Already Not Invented Here has a bigger cast than Unshelved, just because that's the way it's skewing.
So, like, but I mean, all those guys like Buddy or Ned or... Roger, did you intend them to keep coming back as when you first introduced them, or did they just kind of, you liked them?
I think that was more Bill's annoyance with having to draw different people all the time.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty taxing, actually. So he kind of put the jokes into different slots, and I think started assigning them to people who had been there before.
Yeah, and I think you can absolutely, the difference between my two strips is the one I draw, I'm wildly lazy about stuff, so I want to have as few characters as possible, and the one I write, I will just make up characters on the whole, knowing that Paul really loves to do character design, and so he wants to have as many as possible.
So if Gene ever comes up with a new character, you'll talk him out of it, usually?
No, I just, when the strip comes out, it's like, you know, he's drawn the guy who appeared, like, 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, Gene does not generally, unless it is incredibly relevant, like, there's this older bald dude called Computer Victim.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He may have a name, but we call him Computer Victim. And so when it's a computer strip, I just use Computer Victim, even if Gene hasn't indicated that, because he's just the guy. And then also, I mean, the nice thing about having characters is as soon as he appears, you know he's going to have a computer problem. And that kind of lends to the humor of it.
Right.
But I used to, like years and years ago, like 7 years ago, I was probably still writing, like, intense descriptions of everyone who came on.
It was your Alan Moore face.
It was crazy. Like I'd be like, where's the flowered dress I ordered for this lady? And people would be like, I didn't feel like drawing flowers.
Yeah, flowers are hard.
Stripes are easy.
Yeah.
everyone's a prisoner.
Originally, I intended to draw the characters in different clothes.
Right.
But it is actually jarring to have characters in different clothes because they don't look like that person you just saw, and that would probably imply that I was better at drawing their faces, and so by having them in the same clothes every day, our poor people, they just must smell terrible or have very similar wardrobes.
Well, it's the same thing in general. I mean, with all the old classic strips, I mean, Charlie Brown wore the same outfit.
No, and obviously there's great precedent for it, but it was my intention to do that differently. And then again, when we started Not Invented Here, I'm like, we should have Desmond in a different Hawaiian shirt every day, and Paul's like, yeah, you draw that. And so that was that.
Next year is your 10th anniversary of doing the strip. Do you have any plans for anything really big to do for that anniversary?
I'm planning on not feeling like I'm going to vomit. Today's a bad day to ask that.
And right now, everything is not vomiting.
Not vomiting. Tomorrow, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do for your daughter's college graduation?
Not vomit.
That is a good question. I guess we sort of started tossing some ideas around. We have probably some book that we'll come out with. We're still figuring that out. We are really poor at planning ahead, and so no, we do not have any concrete plans for our 10th anniversary.
I mean, it'll be a PLA year though, so maybe we'll do something fun at PLA. We're kind of thinking about a program.
Yeah, we do have some programs in mind for either PLA or ALA or both.
Okay.
And then obviously we're not the people who control that. Yeah, it'd be fun. I mean, I really want the world to just sort of erupt in spontaneous celebration.
I know there was one, I'm blanking on which book it is, one of your books you had a sort of original story in the middle of a long-form story.
Yep, Library Mascot Cage Match, and the story is Empire County Strikes Back.
Right. Do you plan to do that again in a future book, or?
I will say that's one of the funnest things I've ever done with Gene. It was really fun to do, to break out of our mold. It was also one of the hardest things we've ever done together.
Yeah, we had never worked on anything of that length before, so rewriting that was extremely painful.
Well, I know, and I know you guys generally use the traditional comic strip 3-grid style, 3-panel strip, and so that was a little bit different from what you normally do too, except for the book clubs, obviously.
It's different in form factor, but I think the strange thing was that I sat down and I wrote. I write a comic script for Bill usually, and then he looks at it and he takes a pass at it and he changes a couple things or changes almost the whole thing sometimes. And that's not very frustrating because my level of commitment to that is smaller. But when I wrote, a 24-page comic, mm-hmm. and then he was like, well, these last 12 pages are just complete crap. I was like, now, wait a minute, mister. This is this is a lot of work on my behalf here. And trying to negotiate those changes was harder than it normally is, I think, because I was so much more invested in it initially.
Right.
Then we just got down to the work,
And there was still a point where, it was just a new thing for both of us. And we went back to first principles in a big way. I remember Gene telling me, here's what storytelling looks like. And we have to have this. And then it has to seem that all is lost. And then out of that comes, they pull victory. And mm-hmm. something I hadn't really ever done before.
We don't really do arcs very much, right? We do a week long arc and Unshelved and not a whole comic book size arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised on your weekend reruns you're doing now, it's doing the introduction of Buddy, and I went back and reread those, and I realized I didn't remember that storyline being quite so long, but it went on for a few weeks.
That is the longest storyline we've ever done by far.
We planned one longer, but we cut that.
The one we asked was the story where they remodeled the library. And
it was going to be epic.
And then we're like, this is the least funny thing ever written in all space-time. And so we just had Buddy do it overnight.
That is probably the most work we ever just tossed.
Yeah. But it was wise. It was good. You have to kill your baby.
It was so terrible.
Yeah. That was a baby that was worth throttling in the bathtub. We had a lot of original material in a book. Would the book sell better? And the answer was no. Which is one of the reasons that our books have not, since then, had more original material.
But we think we could probably do something as a standalone.
No, I think a standalone is something different, but it did not inspire people to run out and buy the collection who wouldn't otherwise have.
So have you guys talked about doing a standalone?
Yeah. We talk about everything. It's amazing how much we talk about versus how little we actually do.
Fair enough.
Lots of planning.
Lots of good ideas. But, the world is full of, everyone has a good idea. What's hard is execution. And this year we have a really good idea for a thing that we really want to do. And the challenge is that we've also had a very successful year in terms of booking speaking engagements. So we're doing 13 talks around the country.
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to ask. I didn't know if I was wondering if you guys were finding it harder to find libraries to speak at since so many libraries are having budget crises at the moment.
We don't find them. They find us. They literally just email us and say, can you talk? So we're not calling up libraries and saying, please, can we speak there?
Right. But you're not seeing any less.
I will say that I was a little surprised that this year turned into such a boom year for us.
I think things are on the upturn, kind of out there economically, and I also think when things are depressing, you really don't want somebody to come in and talk about how bad things are. There's always going to be those people. You want people to come in and kind of entertain people and make things light. So maybe that's why it's a good year for us.
We're the circuses and bread of circuses,
right? Are you guys willing to give any kind of hints as to what the future of what Colleen is?
I think we've already talked about how poorly we plan ahead, right?
what can we say about that? Now we have to instantly negotiate.
I would say that I love Colleen.
Me too.
Yeah.
So we probably have not seen the last of Colleen.
Colleen, and I think she's a great character.
Yes.
Okay, that's what we'll say about that.
And she lives in the Mauville Library neighborhood, so we're... How's that?
Okay.
I don't want you to give anything away you don't want to give away.
Well, it's not going to be too long before you have some kind of answer.
Okay.
I would say.
You just shut up now.
Sorry.
Stop talking. You get sick and suddenly your mouth's like blah blah blah. I'm usually the one who cares.
Okay, Steve. Here's our plan for. Beep 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 beep.
I'll edit it out. Yeah, you just tell me and. You guys have used social media quite a bit to get the word out about your strip. And I noticed, while I was trying to figure out if you guys had an account on Twitter, I noticed that the @unshelved account is just some woman who
it is
posted something in 2009, and her only follower is...
me.
Bill.
Yep.
Are you stalking her in case she gives up the name? Or...
yes. Yeah, no, it's the bane of my existence. Actually, we did a sequence in Not Invented Here where somebody has the Desmond account, and it's like the bane of Desmond's existence. And somebody really does have a Desmond account, and they really just had like a single tweet.
I just want to say this is not the bane of my existence. I could care less.
We have different banes, it's true. I have basically like one. We have different priorities, and one of my largest priorities in life right now is to get to the next tier in the Alaska Airlines frequent flyer plan.
Oh my god!
And like I'm moving heaven and earth to make sure that happens.
He's telling me to take an extra flight. I mean, I hate to fly, and he's like, take an extra flight somewhere, man. You can make it, too.
Because this year, we're traveling so much that we're starting to get upgraded to first class once in a while. I'm like, this is good. We should do this more. Plus, we get free drinks.
And you guys are going to a Comic-Con next week.
We are.
Yep.
We are. That is our hardest show of the year.
Why is that?
Well, because we do two kinds of shows. We do library shows, and we do comic shows. And I guess we do Book Expo America, which is somewhere in between. But the library shows are really fun because, first of all, a lot of our fans are there. And anyone who's not a fan is absolutely a potential fan.
Right.
And so anyone who walks by, I'm like, comic strip about a library? And so they either say, get it, or they're like, tell me more. And so that is the best kind of selling because it's very rare when you get someone who's just not interested. And if they're not interested, someone behind them is.
Right.
And the comic shows are much more generally they're the general population.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even comics fans these days. Like Comic-Con is the chance that someone walks by actually cares about comics is fairly low. They're there to meet some TV star or movie star or something.
But the comic shows, there are more people dressed like Slave Leia and Batgirl.
So. No, that's an upside. I'm not saying that.
I heard Darth Vader was walking around ALA this year. So
there were stormtroopers. I didn't actually see Darth. It's possible.
I didn't see Darth Vader.
I saw the stormtroopers. Anyway, so the... what it means is every time someone walks by, that sale is starting from, you know, starting from zero and right. Doesn't often get much past zero.
I think it's starting from minus one, actually.
It is kind of starting from minus one because the other thing about ALA or, you know, any of the library shows is just the fact that we're cartoonists and doing a comic makes us stand out and it's interesting to people. And at Comic-Con, it's not interesting at all.
Well, but at Comic-Con, we do find people who are complete book geeks and are very, very interested. And so, and that's well worth it because they're incredibly dedicated fans of the medium.
They're there. We just have to find them. But it's a hard show because we have to find them as opposed to them finding us.
But it is worth your time to go. It's not. It doesn't feel like it's a waste of time.
Interesting talk, but yes, I will say it's not a waste of time. And plus, it's a fun show. It's so fun for me to be there. I mean, just to run around and see the toys and stuff alone is awesome. Bill finds it a bit more wearing, I think.
Are you doing any panels or anything?
Well, I used to. Gene's going to be on a panel on comics and libraries. And I used to love going to that show because I would go like to see Joss Whedon speak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gotten so big and crowded that I would literally have to start standing in line first thing in the day and be in line for 12 hours. And that means I can't be at the booth selling people, which is the reason we're there. So,
and I tend to not like that big media stuff very much. Like I haven't really gone to see a big media event since I saw Kevin Smith probably 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I don't like it because of the lines, but I'll go see, like, I think Louis Trondheim, who's one of my favorite cartoonists right now. He's French, and he was a guest of honor, and I ran up to see him speak for an hour, and that was just fantastic for me. It wasn't very crowded, though, unfortunately, which is kind of horrifying to me,
right.
Know, because I think everybody should love this guy and know who he is, but it was fantastic because I could arrive as the show started and get a seat reasonably close to the front and just hang on his every word, which was excellent.
So. Yeah, Gene was feeling bad that there weren't more people there, so he ran outside and he screamed, Joss Whedon's in here! That didn't really happen.
Didn't work.
It didn't happen. I'm just making it up. You're looking healthier, by the way.
I'm feeling a little bit better right now. Yeah.
I think it's Steve's dulcet tones.
I think the arsenic you gave me in that coffee probably had something to do with it. Oh,
I know the unshelved answers part of your site was really popular, and then they had the service switch to a different type, and so you guys had to shut it down. Could you kind of describe what it was?
Unshelved Answers is there's a great site called started years ago called Stack Overflow. Which was a question and answer site for programmers, and I'm by training a programmer, so I knew all about it. And then they took the kind of engine behind that, and they distilled it, and they called that Stack Exchange. And they said, hey, would you like to start a site like Stack Overflow, except for your particular business? And we said, yes. So we did that, and we started one for library stuff. And it was very successful, and we called it Unshelled Dancers. But not long after they did that, they changed business models, and they said, you know what, instead of having you do this, we're going to do it ourselves. And so now there are Stack Exchange sites for dozens of different things, and I subscribe to several of them, one for music and one for programmers and one for comics, and they're all really great. And actually, we've tried to get one started for libraries, and it doesn't quite have critical mass.
But you are working on something?
We loved the idea of like having a website that wasn't unshelved where the community could come together, and one of these days we'll do something like that again.
Okay.
Essentially, like all the data from Unshelved Dancers is up on our site. Is that right?
Yes. So the collective wisdom is still available.
And there's some open source competitor to Stack Exchange, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called, but it's named on that subsite of our site.
Yeah,
and so we're kind of hoping that somebody will take the ball and run with it and like put that information into that site if it's possible. But
right.
we don't really think it's viable at this point.
So Bill has your other site, the other strip, not invented here. Gene, do you ever plan to do another strip, or Bill, do you want to?
I will probably keep creating comic strips the rest of my life.
Okay.
I'm a serial comic strip creator.
I hired somebody. I'm not quite ready to talk about specifics about this, but I hired somebody to draw a picture book for me literally 2 weeks ago now. And so, more about that later. But what? Bill's making a face.
He's already told you more about it than he's told me.
She's a fantastic webcomics artist. That's all I'm going to say.
You just can't stop him. Here, ask him questions about his sex life, Steve. He'll apparently discuss the thing today. No, seriously, the usually our dynamic is that I'm the one blabbing about stuff, and he's like, no.
It must be the medication. So.
No, absolutely.
No, you know what it is? Like what I find is that when I talk about stuff, I don't do it.
Yeah.
And when I do stuff and I can talk about it when it's out, I feel much better. I feel like that's the way to go. And so until this is further along, I'm not going to discuss the specifics of it very much. But, Like there's a lot of things that I want to do, and I'm working on some of them.
Steve, the reason I started Not Invented Here was because I was just itching to do that. I had all these stories from when I worked in the software industry, and I really wanted to tell them. And you can see, if you look carefully through almost 10 years of Unshelved, you can see me trying to do that, trying to talk about technology, and trying to talk about, and it's just not a good fit. There's some technology in libraries, but most of it wasn't a good fit. And the extent to which I would start another comic strip or something like that is because I feel I can't do it in my other two comic strips. Like, they're just stories and characters that cannot exist in the library or in an office. Like, the comic strip I was working on before I started working with Gene was a comic strip based on my wife's and my experience traveling around the country in an RV for 9 months. And it was just this wacky, fun cultural experience, and traveling, and the people who do it, and the old folks in their RVs. And I really wanted to talk about that.
What was that one called?
It went through various names,
okay.
And it never really showed up on the web, so you can't find it.
Okay.
But one of these days, I'd like to reboot that. I still want to do that, so maybe I will.
Reboot it and do it with the whole family this time in the RV.
I'd love to do that.
And then you when you guys first started, you were called Overdue, but you had some. There was some trademark issue with that, I guess. Is that?
Yeah, the key to intellectual property is it's not who actually wins; it's who can afford to stay the course in terms of lawsuit. So there wasn't even anyone knocking on our door. We just looked around and said, "Oh, this one person has a better claim than we do, and they're a much bigger company than we do." So we just did the very conservative thing.
Okay, so they didn't actually come after you. You just
no.
And
no, and actually, in the end, I slightly prefer the name Unshelved, and we got our own domain. I mean, Overdue.com was not available, but Unshelved.com was. So
that, isn't Overdue.com like a collection agency or something? Or it was?
It ought to be. My joke about the name Overdue was that it could either be about a library or a collection agency or a maternity ward. We had
all
options.
Three.
We could always pivot.
I wanted to call it Overdue, but I don't think that fell by the wayside.
And is it right that the way you came up with the new name Unshelved was you kind of held a contest with your readers?
We did, but I think that somebody came close, right? But nobody said.
I actually Unshelved. Think somebody did. I think Unshelved was one of the names, and mostly what it just gave us more stuff to argue about. But
well, no, we had to make a whole rubric. We had to start. We had to agree on the percentage of things. Like what was this percent important, and then. We had to go through like the 10 finalists. It was crazy, but it kind of taught us how to argue. little bit more, I think.
How did you guys meet up for the first time?
Gene knew my wife before I did. They were friends. And then I was working at a software company, and then I quit. And then I did that thing when I realized after I quit my job that all my friends were work friends. Like, they were friends because we all worked together. And when I left, they didn't come with me. And so I'm like, oh, I need new friends. And she said, well, you should hang out with Gene. She didn't actually say Gene because Gene's not his real name. But she said, you should hang out with Gene. You guys would, you know, enjoy reading comics and going to bad movies together, which we did.
Now.
Okay, he's going to vomit now, Steve. Can we bring this interview to a halt?
You know why? Because I just saw those comics we bought in Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty terrible. What other breaking question did you need to ask us before Gene, you know, died?
I can tell you guys are huge book fans because you do the weekly book club and you do the book reviews on the site. And
yeah, no, we're big nerds.
Yeah, it's all fun.
Are you both comics nerds, or is that just Gene?
Well, we're different comics nerds. He's a broader comics nerd.
Yeah, I mean, I will try almost anything, and Bill has this giant shelf of Marvel stuff.
It's true. I have, and some Image, but mostly Marvel. Yeah, no, I essentially read the same comics I read as a kid. And anything that's too far out of there is too far out of there, but
I'm always looking for that experimental thing that just blows me away by doing something completely unexpected. And
I would say Gene is more of a student of the art form. And I enjoy the stories I enjoy. And that's true with reading, too, that I read fairly narrowly unless I have reason to do otherwise.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for agreeing to do the interview with me.
And this will be, you know, this will be the last interview before Gene died, so that'll be
good. I mean, he died in the middle of it, and then he came back, and then he's going to die again, so.
Yeah, no, he was resurrected. It was quite a thing.
It was Bill's mouth-to-mouth that really helped me out.
Oh, if only we had video.
All right. Well, good talking to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Take care.
Bye-bye. If you'd like to know more about the podcast, you can visit circulatingideas.com or follow the show on Twitter at CircIdeas. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/circulatingideas. If you have comments, questions, or suggestions for future interviews, you can contact the show at circulatingideas.mail@gmail.com. Our music is by Pamela Klicka. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me again next time.